We love you. We praise you. We worship you, oh God. Jesus, that is a sound. God wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear you say thank you. God wants to hear you cry out to him. God wants to hear your heart. God wants to hear you upon today. And we say we thank you, oh God. We love you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. You've been so good and so kind to us all. And we just want to say we thank you and we love you, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Can we give God one more shout of praise? Is he worthy? Can we give one more clap, one more shout of praise? Is he worthy? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for what you're doing today. I thank you for seeing everybody's face today. And I'm just grateful, y'all. God has been so good and so kind, and I'm just grateful. That's where my heart is at. Amen. Amen. At this time, the children can be released to go to Children's Church. Y'all can go in the back. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, oh God. Everyone stand for a reading of scripture real quick. We got just one verse real quick. John chapter 3. Where anybody stand for the reading of the word. And it says this. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you don't mind, shake three people's hands and say, "You must be born again." Shake three people's hands. That's two right there. You must be born again. You must be born again. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. In this particular passage in the Gospel of John, Jesus is fresh off the wedding in Cana. Jesus just turned six jugs of water containing 20 to 30 gallons of water into wine. This is his first miracle recorded in this gospel. So Jesus is at the wedding, and this is the first place that he shows his deity, himself being not only the Son of God, but having deity, being God himself. So he shows this wasn't a magic trick or this wasn't an illusion. He turned all this 30 gallons times six into wine. He turned all this, and he shows us one thing off top, that he can make something out of nothing. Yeah, so y'all missed y'all shout already. Yeah, yeah. That ain't even in the text, but in what I'm, the meat of what I'm saying today. But Jesus shows us off top that he can make something out of nothing, and that alone is why I praise him and worship him. Because if I know he turned water into wine, he fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. If a woman touched the hem of his garment and got healed from an issue from 13 years of blood, if he can do all that, I know he can do anything for me. This is why we sing, "What a mighty God we serve." This is why angels in heaven adore him and earth bows before him. Why? Because it's a mighty God we serve. Why? Because he can make something out of nothing. So early in the first two chapters, this is when John establishes Jesus' deity, himself being the Christ and the Word becoming flesh and dwelling with us. And he was the Word, and without the Word, nothing was ever made. John describes all that. Great read. But today we're dealing with chapter 3. So we're going to look into the text. And it says right here in verse 1 and 2, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" So look at verse 1. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. A Pharisee, he is a ruler in the Jewish customs. The word Pharisee most likely comes from the root in the Hebrew word, which means separate, to separate. So these Pharisees were known as the separated ones. That's where their title. That's how people view them. They were not separated because of isolationists, but because they were trying to make themselves seem more pure than everyone else. See, they weren't separated because they were individuals. No, they were separated because they were zealous about their rituals. They wanted to make sure that they performed all the laws of Moses. They wanted to make sure they did everything right. And they also added their own traditions to what they did. So these dudes made the Pharisees, they made their own version of the Old Testament. Yeah, they had the remix version, yeah. We're going to take God's word and we're going to sprinkle a little us on it. You know what I mean? We're going to have our version. They had the Pharisee version. See, they were generally middle class men. Most were businessmen. They were not priests like the tribe of Levites. So they represented the core orthodox of Judaism and very strongly influenced the common people of Israel. According to Josephus, a Jewish historian who wrote about Christianity in the first century, he was born just 4 years after Jesus rose. So there is a book outside the Bible that documents the whole the movement of Christianity, a man named Josephus. And he documents this being born only 4 years after the resurrection of Christ. And so he says that in the time of Herod the Great, there were about 6,000 Pharisees around Israel at this time. So the holy rollers who claim to love God are the ones who crucified Jesus and put him on the cross. The Pharisees, the ones that knew everything and did everything right. Those were the ones. And it trips me out every time I look at that, because it's crazy, because the church folk killed Jesus. That just messes me up. So, but I think the reason they wanted to kill Jesus is because they wanted as holy as advertised. Yeah, I see what Jesus said real quick in Matthew 5:20. He's talking to his disciples. He says this: "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Woo.
Yeah, that's good.
Back at one verse, Jesus said, "Look, one who breaks the least of commandments and teaches others to do this should be considered least in the kingdom. But the one who teaches and does them should be considered great in the kingdom of God." So Jesus is telling that the Pharisees were talkers but not doers. Yeah, they could talk a good game, but they really couldn't do what they said they could do. So Jesus looks at them and says, "Look here, if y'all gonna roll with me, y'all gotta be what y'all talking about. Y'all gotta be about what y'all talking about. If y'all gonna be on my level and roll with me and kick it with me, y'all gotta roll with this thing. Y'all can't pick and choose when to be holy and not to be holy. Y'all either gonna roll with me or not," is what Jesus says to his crew, the disciples. So look at verse 2, and it says, "Nicodemus came to Jesus by night." The old school preacher used to dog Nicodemus. Yeah, anyone that knows any church tradition, they used to talk about Nicodemus bad. Nicodemus came by night. Why he come by night? Was he ashamed of Jesus? Why he got to come see Jesus at nighttime? Jesus around all day, he going to come at night? What kind of man is that? He was ashamed. He was all this. But maybe he wasn't ashamed of Jesus. Maybe because the Pharisees and how they acted, and he knew they had a plot already to kill Jesus. Maybe he knew I would risk my life if I was seen with Jesus in the daytime. So that wouldn't be too smart of me maybe to be talking to Jesus in the middle of the day, because my counterparts don't really care for Jesus. Or maybe it was because I came to Jesus by night because everybody was following Jesus. If you read the New Testament, crowds would cling to Christ. Thousands, multitudes would be everywhere Jesus was at. So if I wanted to get some one-on-one time with Jesus, it might be a little difficult in the daytime. If he got all these people around him, I couldn't really conversate with him. But no matter the reason is to me, the important thing I get out that text is that he came to Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, Michelle. I don't care what happened, what's going on in your life, but just come to Jesus. We as believers need to be quit being worried why people come to Jesus. She done had another baby. Look at her. She got a wedlock. Now she want to come to church. I don't care. She coming to Jesus. Look at him. His wife left him. Now he want to come to church. When everything's bad, he lost his job. Who cares? He came to Jesus. Why be concerned why people come to Jesus? Why can't we be glad that they decided to come to Jesus? So I'm excited that Nick says, "You know what? I got to come to Jesus. And I got to come and talk to him and see what's going on." I love it because Nick gets right to the point. He says this. Check this out. Teacher, read that. Look at verse 2. Let me go back to it. He says, "Teacher, we know that you are a teacher that come from God." Excuse me? The Pharisees? Did y'all get that? The people that didn't want to respect Jesus, that didn't like Jesus, didn't care for Jesus. He says, "Teacher, we know that you come by God because no one else could do the signs that you do unless God was with him." So did Nick just let us know that our haters might not acknowledge God's favor on our life, but they do see it?
Amen.
Oh, we know you. That means they had some conversations in back rooms about Jesus. Amen. We see all the miracles he's doing. We see all the people he's healing. Ain't no doubt that he came from God, but we don't like it because he's coming on our territory. So this gets me excited, and it lets me know that don't matter what nobody says, and they might hate on you, whatever the case may be, but they can't deny God's favor on your life.
Amen.
They can't even though it makes them upset about it, they still got to acknowledge it. Because no matter what happened, Nick is telling Jesus, look here, we didn't talk about you. And we know the stuff you're doing, God got to be on your side. So no matter how much they deny you, they can't stop God's hand from being on you. Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. So look at Jesus, and he answered this in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I love this because Jesus answered him before he even asked the question. He didn't ask no questions. He just told Jesus, you know, we know who you are. We know God with you. But it says Jesus answered him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means Nick must have already had that question on his mind. So Jesus shows that he's God. I know what you're thinking already, Nick. I know why you came out here at night. I know why you want to talk to me. So I just get to the point. I ain't gonna cut to the chase. No one can have the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So Nick must have had salvation on his mind, and Jesus trying to help him out. But check it out. Jesus said, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He's not talking about seeing it with physical eyes. What is he talking about? Jesus saying this. Until one is born again, you cannot see, vis-a-vis, comprehend the kingdom of God. Which means you can't understand the kingdom of God unless one is born again. You ever been listening to a sermon or teaching or something and you knew, my friend need to hear this. I feel this in my heart and my spirit, but my friend really needs to hear this. And I want to give it to him, and you give it to him, and you play it to him. And you like, you don't feel this. This is how I feel. I know you're dealing with things like this. This helps out. And they sit there and they really don't get nothing from it. Because they're not born again. They can't see. They can't comprehend the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So it's not until you're born again you're able to comprehend the things of God. Because if your heart is not tender from God, if you have not let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life, if you have not let these things happen, you will turn a deaf ear on what God is trying to say to you. So Nick was under the Pharisees, who put emphasis on their outer appearance and the way they conducted themselves in the public that makes them look holy. Jesus is saying, look here, I know you think by dotting every I and crossing every T is the right thing to do, but you must be born again. I know you are a Jew and you follow the laws and you do all that and you read your Bible every day, you pray every day and do all those things, but you must be born again. Those that were here last week, remember I talked about the Jews were what? Spiritually prideful. Because they knew that God, they were God's chosen people. They knew the Messiah was coming through them. They knew they were the heirs to Abraham because they knew all of these things. They became prideful. But Jesus said, I know you were Jew, but you still must be born again. So then Nicodemus hits him with this. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time? Nick sound crazy, don't he? Yeah, Nick tripping. He's trying to understand these spiritual truths, but he just don't get it. How can real change come about? How can this happen? How can a man be born again? The only way I know to be born again is to come out your mother's womb a second time. But that sounds ridiculous, Jesus. I'm confused. So look at what Jesus tells him. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Last week we talked about Jesus' blood and death and resurrection, giving us access to certain things. And one of the things I wanted to make sure he gave us access to was the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I have to go away because if I don't go away, the helper's not coming. So I got to give you access to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is telling us that unless a birth takes place by water, and what is water? Water is naturally used to cleanse. Some people have health issues. Why? Just because they won't drink enough water and flush out their system naturally. But in the Old Testament, water was used to purify the temple. So water was used as a sign of purification in the Old Testament. It meant spiritual cleansing. So Jesus is letting Nick know that this cleansing I'm talking about and what you need to enter the kingdom of heaven is not just to clean you up on the outside, but to clean you up on the inside too. Yeah. Okay. Maybe you can feel this. I like to go to Sparkling Image to get my car washed. You might go to Sparkling Image. I like Sparkling Image. They tight to me. And I love going there. Why? Because I can go there and get my car washed. But since I started driving, I noticed something. That even though I can go to the car wash and get my car washed, that doesn't necessarily mean that my car is clean. Even though I went through the car wash. See, the soap and water can hit my car up. The window cleaner can hit it. That can throw the wheel bright on the outside. That can do all that stuff. And watch my car. The machine is going through. I'm going through the car, and the hot air dryer is drying off everything. But my car is not totally clean. Why? Because I love sparkling image. Why? Because they give you an option to what? Detail as well. See, the detail option, it costs a little bit more money, but I love it because not only do I get my car clean on the outside, but I can let somebody work on the inside. Y'all ain't feeling me today. Okay. But the machine did everything on the outside. The machine washed the outside, got my windows and my doors looking good and everything on the outside looking good, but that's still a problem on the inside. But when I pay that right option and get the detail, what happens? A man got to get inside my car now. A man has to get inside my car. The Holy Spirit got to get inside me. See, a man has to come and wash off my windows now. A man has to come and vacuum and get that dirt in little bitty spots that are hard to reach that I didn't see. A man has to put the armor on my dash and wipe it out. And all I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit is trying to get inside you and clean you up. He just don't want to clean the outside. He don't want you in suits and ties. He don't want you in all that and you ain't ready to live right. The Holy Spirit wants to get in you and begin to work in and begin to make you new and give you a new heart, give you a new mind, and give you a new spirit. He wants to clean you and make you new. So the Holy Spirit wants to come inside of our life. And then I love it because when they done, what do? They give me an option to spray my car with something. And I don't know about you, but I love that new car smell. The new car smells something powerful. It just makes your car feel new no matter how old it is. And that's how it is with God. That God want to give you that new car smell. That when you walk around, you say, I'm a new creation in Christ. When I walk around, I'm not the same person you used to be. I used to be that you used to know. I want that new car smell. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do to you. Quick reference. We're going to moonwalk to the Old Testament real quick. Just take a quick step back. And look at Ezekiel 36 just to get you a little proof of it. This is God talking in Ezekiel. He said, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, the water, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Remember I said he must be born of what? Of the water and of the Spirit. Again, an Old Testament reference showing that water is getting sprinkled on us to what? To cleanse us from all of our filthiness and our idols. Amen. So look at verse 26 real quick. Then he says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Hallelujah. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So God is saying this, that before we know him and get to love him, we have hearts of stone. Our hearts are cold. Our hearts are malice. And we thinking, my heart ain't cold. I mean, I love my mom, my dad, my family, children, all that. But see, Jesus talks about that heart because he gets on this. He says, like, if you only love those that love you, what good is that? The tax collectors do that. The people that don't know me, that hate me, do that. Anybody can love who loves them. That's the easy part. But what about loving your enemies? See, Jesus came to give us not that heart of stone, that heart of flesh. And then he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Wow. Not only do I need God's spirit, but I want God's spirit in me. Why? Because if I let go of my will, I'm able to do his will. Look at what he said. Not only will you walk in my statutes and my judgments, but you will keep my judgments and do them. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I want to keep and do. I'm tired of faking it till I'm making it. I'm tired of all that. I want to keep and do what God sent me to do. Amen. I'm sick of all that. I don't need all that extra stuff. I want to do what's right and proclaim it. I want to be blessed. See, when I know how to keep and do, I'm in a whole different realm. Amen. What you mean, Pastor? See, when I keep and do, I'm something like this. I'm the blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of the wicked, nor sits in the scornful. Sorry. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. And I should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do y'all know what a tree is? It's planted by the rivers of water. That means it's growing fresh fruit. That means it's growing. That means it's healthy. That's because I'm keeping and doing. I'm growing. I'm healthy. I'm in a place. I'm in a good place. I'm trying to get you excited about your season of keeping and doing. Because when I'm keeping and doing, I'm moving with God like never before. When I'm keeping and doing, favor's coming on my life. The scripture also says, who leaves shall never wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I'm trying to get to a point in my life that whatever I do, I prosper. Anything that I touch, it prospers. Anything I put my mind to, I do it. Anything. But the way I get there is if I keep and do. We got to learn to keep and do. God's trying to get us somewhere, y'all. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh. A person gives birth to the flesh, so the spirit gives birth to the spirit. The way you were born in the natural world was the same thing that applies to the spiritual world. Look at that. That which was born of the flesh is of the flesh. That which is born of the spirit is of the spirit. The exact same thing applies. So you were born of the flesh. To get into this world, what do? You run a mile. You climb a mountain. What you do? You run a relay race. Do cartwheels, back flips. No. You were born into this world. So the same way you are born into this world, you must be born into the kingdom of God. You must be born. This is why Jesus says this. Look at verse 7. Oh, where you at? Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. Don't marvel. Don't be confused. You must be born again. I like this because there are stages of birth. We all know this, just being human beings, that the sperm and the egg come together. And then what? Then all of a sudden, a baby starts off very, very small. Then it grows and grows. Then a baby's in the womb eating off his mother. Then after 9 months, what happens? A miracle happens. A baby is born. I think birth is a miracle, y'all. That is the most amazing thing to me, that a living human being can live inside you and grow and go through all these stages and come out. And at first it was swimming in water, but somehow the gills have closed on his neck and now it's breathing fresh air. That is amazing to me. It shows the power of God, how perfect things have to be for that to even happen. So while being born is miraculous, so is being spiritually born as well. And the best way I could figure out to give you the example is compared to metamorphosis. Yeah, see, metamorphosis, the definition is a change of the form of nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. So when I am born of the spirit, I should change into something completely different.
Amen.
Okay, yeah, I feel it. It's cool. I got you. Okay, so. That's a frog, but it starts off as a tadpole.
Yeah.
That's metamorphosis. See, so it should be like when I get born of the spirit, I start off as a tadpole.
Yeah.
I'm slimy and crawling around in places I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But as I grow and the spirit gets in me, now I'm a frog. I'm able to jump and leap wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
That's how it is when I get born of the spirit. Okay, maybe that didn't get you. We'll try this. Okay. It should be like a larva to a butterfly. That if I'm born of the spirit, I was low and slithering around on places I couldn't go nowhere. Then I messed around, got trapped in a cocoon. I couldn't even move. I couldn't be free. I was broken. I was blind. But then the spirit raised up in me. Now I'm a butterfly. I'm beautiful and I'm flying. I'm no longer broken. When the Holy Spirit gets into me, it changes me into a new creation. That's why we got to be born of the spirit. Yeah. God is trying to transform us and show us what he wants to make us into, y'all. So look at verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I love Jesus because he's putting a play on words. In the Greek, the same word for wind is the same word for spirit. So I don't know if you've heard people say the Holy Spirit is coming in like a mighty rushing wind. Even in the book of Acts, it came in like a mighty rushing wind. Why? Because spirit and wind are the same words. So Jesus is doing a play on words. He's saying this. Check this out. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You can hear the sound of the wind, but you can also see the evidence of the wind. What's he mean? He means that Jesus is trying to show you that this is for the people that like don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this is people that don't want to believe all this stuff. Okay, that's fine. But the thing that trips me out is that you can't see the wind either. You can't see it, but you can feel it when it breezes by. And when the wind get real strong, not only can you feel it when you breeze by, you can see branches on the ground. You can see leaves on the ground. You can even see trees on the ground. Even though you can't see it, it's evidence the wind exists. What if Jesus says, so is everyone born of my spirit. Even though you can't see the Holy Spirit in your eyes, it's evidence because they ain't who they used to be. It's evidence the way they pray. It's evidence the way they love. It's evidence the way they move. They were moving in a whole new direction. So just like you don't believe, you believe in the wind, you don't see it. So is everyone born of my spirit.
Amen.
The spirit comes and it changes. You cannot see it physically, but the Holy Spirit is there in me. And the evidence is by my actions.
Amen.
It's actions. How do you quit smoking weed? How did I stop fornicating? Stop watching porn. Stop being bitter. Stop being angry. Stop getting drunk. Y'all can clap when I get to y'all. I'm just talking about me. But how I stop all these things and able to change is because of the Holy Spirit. I'm not the only one in here. It's the Holy Church. My brother, it's the Holy Church. It's the Holy Church. All right, my bad. But the Holy Spirit is what gives you the power to change. And this again is why Jesus said, I must go to send the helper to you. Because if I don't leave, he can't come. And he came to give us help, y'all. Amen. You ain't got to fight this on your own. You have the Holy Spirit. Yes. So for my people, don't tell me you don't believe in the Holy Spirit when you believe in the wind. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying. You want evidence? God is this. Look at the wind. Yeah. The way he moving the wind is the way he moving in me. Praise God. Yes. Sure, I won't hear it. So let's look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Nick confused, y'all. This conversation blessed his mind up. Jesus answered him and said, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Bruh, you teaching the people. You don't understand that I'm saying? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak that we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Jesus is tripped out because Nick is a teacher in Israel and he has no understanding of what Jesus is trying to teach him. You a teacher of the word of God. You supposed to know these things, Nick. And if you can't teach it to the people, how the people going to be helped? See, Nick knows a lot of scripture, but his application is off. Yeah. You got to be careful because knowledge is not salvation. Yeah. Don't get it twisted. I believe in studying the word. In my old church, my nickname was Bible Head. That's what they called me. Because I dug my nose in scripture and began to read and try to understand it. And I believe that's why I am where I am now and accepted the calling of my life because I took God's word seriously. But don't get it twisted. We cannot know everything but not have no understanding and no application. Yeah, because there's people that can quote scripture. If this was a Bible challenge show, they would win that, no doubt. They had to quote the scripture and they can live, do that, no doubt. But if they're not living it, it has no power. It has no effect to it. So Jesus is trying to get Nick to understand. Look here, bro. I know you know a lot, but you have to be able to understand. Because if you can't teach the people, they're going to be lost sheep just scattered here and abroad. So it is important to understand that us, that anytime God is pouring into us and we decide that we want to teach, we got to make sure we get understanding of the scriptures, y'all. Because it is important to the other people because their salvation may matter. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So look at verse 12. He says this. If I told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus is trying to make it plain to Nick. I'm trying to explain on your level, bro. I'm trying to make this as clear as possible to you. Birth, you understand birth and being born, water and all these things, and you don't understand it. How can I go to the next level and give you heavenly stuff if you can't understand earthly stuff? See, it's our job as a church to grow and grow and grow. The Apostle Paul even said this. He said, I can't even give y'all meat because y'all still on milk. I want to grow and give y'all bigger spiritual things, but I can't because you're not growing. So it is imperative us as Christians, followers of Christ, that we continue to grow. Because that's how the preacher's able to go into owning different things and be able to teach you more and more. But if you don't get packed, look, think about our children. If they're 8 years old and still drinking milk, what's going to happen? Bones, they're going to be weak. Malnutrition, they can't just drink milk no more. They need some food. They need some vegetables. They need a little bit more. Pediasure ain't enough. They need something. So just like that, guess what? Our spiritual man is just like that. We don't feed it. We starving. And we stay as babes in Christ. And God wants all of us to grow and grow and grow. But Jesus said this in verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus right here solidifies his spot as the GOAT right here. I love that. Jesus said, I'm the greatest of all time right here. Everybody else came down from heaven. Nobody ascended from heaven and came back down and give y'all instructions. That's why I'm the GOAT. Yeah, that's why I'm the Christ. I'm on a whole nother level. Yeah. My home was heaven before I came down here. Y'all were born here. I started up there and came back down here to give y'all instruction. So Jesus alone has true heavenly wisdom. Yeah. And as Jesus is in this deep conversation with Nick, they're going back and forth. slide off. There we go. He went back and forth. And he says this in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus gives nicknames. I'm trying to give you these earthly things. I'm going to give you an Old Testament story you're familiar with. This happens in Numbers 21. You can read it on your own personal time. I'm going to kind of just skim through it. But the children of Israel are in the wilderness right now. They're going around the land of Edom, and they start to complain. Moses, why y'all brought us out here to die? Why you take us out of Egypt, Moses? We ain't got nothing to drink. We ain't got no food. We ain't got no water. Take us back to Egypt. I know we's getting beat. I know we's getting whipped. I know we ain't had no laws. We ain't had no life. They was doing whatever to us, but we want to go back. At least we had some food. Just going to go back to bondage. Who that sound like? Us. God has freed us and done all these things, but for some reason we want to go back to bondage. God has done miraculous things, gave us more than we needed. We prayed for it and he gave it to us. Asked and he gave it to us. We freely received it, but then something get to itching us. We want to go back to Egypt. And so the people want to go back to Egypt, and it trips me out because now God is a little upset. I done did all this for y'all. I done split red seas. I done sent plagues over every god of Egypt. I done destroyed all the multiples of Egypt. I've done all these things to show you that I love you, and there's no God like me. Y'all still want to go back to bondage? So God sends fiery serpents into the camp, and they bit people, and many of people die. So they realize this happened. Because what? They spoke against the Lord and they spoke against Moses. If you don't mind, I'm going to park 2 seconds right here because this is very vital. And just get out the vehicle real quick. Be careful not to speak words against your leaders. Mm-hmm. Be careful, especially when they're following God's instructions. Because just check this out. We're talking about the type of leader that loves God, loves people, and loves their family, and will give you truth. Moses stood on those principles. I love God. I love your family. I love you. And I'm willing to give y'all truth in what God said. And they still wanted to diss him. See, I don't know about you, but Lady Thompson and I, we're trying to be Moses type leaders. If y'all can't depend on nothing else but Jesus, and then we're going to be right here to love you, love your family, and help you be whatever God calls you to be. That's our mission in life. To stand right here, no matter the building, but we stand behind this sacred desk and say, that's what we're going to be right here to love God, love you and your family, and get you to wherever God has called you to be. That's our title. Love is because the type of leader Moses is in, check this out. They diss God, diss him, they getting bit by the snake, but then they ask Moses to pray for him. Woo, what? They diss God, diss Moses. Now they hurt and need Moses to pray. But this is why you got to have the type of leader that Moses is in your life. Why? Because Moses still prayed for him. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I know y'all just kicked me to the curb, but I still pray for y'all. Yeah. I know y'all just did me dirty, but I'm still going to pray for you. Yeah. I know you just lied on me and made me look like a certain way, but I'm still going to pray for you. Amen. So if you're going to walk close with us, you got to have that type of heart that no matter what happens, I'm still willing to pray for you. Amen. Because that's what Jesus would do. So I love that Moses begins to pray for the people. And look at this. Moses begins to pray and he gets instructions from God. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Wow. Instructions. Put the serpent on the pole. Hold it up. Everybody looks at the serpent is now healed. There were many people that died that day. Why? Because they wouldn't look up at the pole. Man, I can imagine people crying. Moses, we bitten. Come and lay hands on me, Moses. I'm dying. Moses didn't look up at the pole. Go get that staff. You split the Red Sea. I know God out in that thing, but go get that. Use that, Moses. Moses saying, look up at the pole. People are hurting and dying and suffering because they won't look up at the pole. And it tripped me out because Jesus is talking to Nick. And the thing he's saying is that to be healed and to make your faith whole, all you got to do is look up. What? I mean, let's look at what he said. Jesus said this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much the serpent, Son of Man, must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. So Jesus is saying, just like the serpent, the way to have eternal life is to look up. See, 2,000 years later, the same way God delivered the children of Israel is the same way he's saving us. By faith. See, Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up. He was speaking symbolically, but also metaphorically as well. Symbolically, but metaphorically. What do you mean, Pastor? Check this out. This is what Jesus said later on in John. John 12:32. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. So metaphorically, Jesus is saying, if I am lifted up, I will naturally draw people to myself. So what is he saying? See, my prayer almost every day, I say this, Lord, help someone be saved by my walk and my talk and my actions. Why? Because I'm trying to lift up Jesus. Because if I lift him up, I'm going to draw somebody to him. And that's what Jesus wants to happen. This is how people get saved, by us lifting him up. You have to lift him up in your personal life. And the reason people ain't getting saved is because people ain't lifting them up. See, it's simple. If I choose to go to work, I'm going to get a check. If I choose to lift weights, I'm going to get stronger. So if I choose to lift him up, somebody got to be drawn to him. Because he says, if I'm lifted up, which means if, which means is a question, which means you have to choose to lift him up. The choice is yours. But also symbolically, how did Jesus die? How did Jesus die? He was crucified on the cross, right? They beat him. They whipped him. No doubt about that. The Bible says he was unrecognizable. How bad he was. We couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. How bad he was beaten. How bad he was hurt. Beaten for our sins. But what else they do? They stretched him out on the cross. And they banged nails in one hand. And so I can feel almost the angel saying, as they banging nails in one hand, say, you know you've been a mess up, right? You know you've been a mess when they bang that right hand. And then what they do, they stretch that left hand and begin to bang that spike in the left hand. I can feel the angel saying, y'all know y'all messing up, right? Y'all don't know what he said. And then as they began to bang the spikes in his feet, they say, y'all really messing up now. I don't think y'all know what y'all doing. The devil think he's winning, but he's really messing up. And after they banged the nails in his hands and the spikes in his foot, they took that cross, they lifted that thing up. Y'all ain't hear me. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. If you look at me as Moses did the serpent, Jesus is saying, if I've been lifted up, I was lifted up to bring you out of sin. I was lifted up to bring you out of depression. I was lifted up to bring you out of promiscuity. I was lifted up to bring you out of homosexuality. Whatever you're dealing with, that is the reason I've been lifted up. So Jesus lifted up is symbolic to him getting victory for us, y'all. Because if he wasn't lifted up on that cross, where would we be? And I know last week was the resurrection and all, but I just felt the Holy Spirit peace had to be, because he gave us access to the Holy Spirit. And if we go through John, and I'm finished. What is John 3:16? God so loved the world. It's the same, the verse right after 15, as he's giving this conversation with Nick. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. People in the wilderness perish because they wouldn't look up at the serpent. Some of us in our life will perish because they won't look up at the sun. God has called us to look up. Look at him lifted up. And when you begin to lift him up in your life and acknowledge him as Lord, you get the Holy Spirit. And then you will be born again. Amen. See God's presence in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.